shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Hope it's starting off right for you. It's a decent temperature out there right now. You know, it's just under 50 degrees. It's actually, my phone says 43, but my car said it was 47. I'm going to choose to believe the latter because it feels, you know, decent out there. I wore a light jacket today. Denim jacket. And still no rain. That's got a couple more days to wait for that. So that means we're still under these red flag warnings. And we saw what can happen if you don't heed those warnings yesterday here in Fairhaven. So there were numerous emergency personnel flying down Skaneken Neck Road. Barry was in here. Telling me, if he was in a commercial break, he'd run into my office, or he would message me if he was in the studio, like, just saw some more. And it turns out that it was an unattended fire pit that led to this. So somebody, I would assume, if you're running a fire pit during the day, you're probably trying to burn some leaves or something, burn some brush. And apparently that got out of control and sparked a fire in the shed, and the shed had some lawn equipment in it. According to the fire department, there was some propane tank. There was a propane tank involved. So that probably accelerated things. There were reports that something had exploded. A neighbor had reported something had exploded. So that could have been that propane tank. And that would only accelerate things. And then, of course, you've got the home itself that was damaged. And that's what's going on right now out there. It's too dry and the conditions are too dangerous to have an outdoor fire. And we've seen other communities battling brush fires that have been going on for weeks. My friend was at her house in Wareham last night, and she called me and she said, have you heard anything about there being any fires going on in Wareham or Onset? Because I can smell it. It's thick in the air. And I said, no, nothing that I've heard of. But all I could think of is maybe it was, the residual smoke from Fairhaven or even some of that smoke from up north. I don't know what direction the wind was coming in. But we're going to deal with a lot of that. We're going to deal with the after effects of fires that are happening in other places. If you remember those Canadian wildfires, we were breathing that in down here. The air quality suffered here as a result of fires, hundreds of miles away. So let's hope that people start to take these warnings seriously, and let's hope that we get enough rain on Thursday into Friday that it can settle things a little bit. But for now, please heed the warnings. I mean, don't so much as throw a cigarette on the ground. I know a lot of you smokers, you just toss your butt on the ground when you're done, or toss it out the window of your car if you're driving down the road. You can't do that right now. You shouldn't do that anyway. It's ignorant. But if you're doing that now, it's really ignorant. Because that could be what sparks the next dangerous fire. So we can talk more about that. We can also talk about a few other things this morning. Of course, yesterday, a couple of press conferences that were held in the area. The city of New Bedford announced the quest. Not a quest that the city is undertaking, but it's the name of the building, where they're basically going to have what they're calling a crash pad for the offshore wind industry. So if people want to come down, you know, businesses want to come down and kind of set up shop before they set up shop, that's what the idea behind this place is, to connect with the other businesses that are in the industry and the other adjacent industries and to kind of get a feel. And Mayor Mitchell did admit that the incoming Trump administration will likely slow things down. But as he said, it won't put a stop to it. It's not even going to put a pause to it. But because Trump has said he will lessen federal funding to offshore wind, naturally that's going to have to slow down some of the progress that's been made in recent years. And Mayor Mitchell will be on with Chris later on this morning, and they will discuss that, amongst other things. But the idea of it seems like a good idea. It's also something that has been a staple in how they do things in Europe, in how they get these companies off the ground. So he can obviously talk more in depth about it because he's actually been to those places in Europe, and he'll give you more insight into it when he comes on with Chris later on. And then we had Bristol County Sheriff Paul Heroux, who unveiled the newly redone, what was formerly the ICE Detention Center, and the site of that infamous 2020 riot has now been reborn as a training center for the Bristol County Sheriff's Office. And judging by the time-lapse video that they put out of the work that was being done, you know, this wasn't done by an outside construction company. This was done by existing members of the BCSO staff. So they were coming in and doing the work themselves, and, you know, you can see that they were really proud of this facility that they built. Their previous training facility was, a couple of trailers and a rented building across the street. So now they've got a much more efficient and hospitable facility, more room. They put the canine unit in there. They put what's their version of a SWAT team that responds to incidents in the jail. They've put those offices in there as well, and they've made use of the space that wasn't being utilized otherwise. Because as part of his press availability yesterday to unveil this, Sheriff Heroux also mentioned that he does not plan to use the department to enforce any deportation policy of the Trump administration. And actually really not to handle any immigration cases at all, because, as he said, that's the federal government's job, not the county sheriff's job. And there may have been a time that former Sheriff Tom Hodgson had the resources and the manpower, certainly the desire, to assist in those operations. But Sheriff Heroux is saying, you know, we're stretched thin as it is already. We've got employees that are working mandatory overtime shifts, and morale suffers as a result of that. They just had, I think, 28 new recruits come through that training center. The first class they graduate next week, but it'll be the first class to come through that new training center. But how many of those 28 stick around? And then how much does that alleviate what's already going on over there? So he's saying they're already stretched thin and that he doesn't feel like that's something that they should be participating in anyway. And the people who voted for him agree because that was a major part of his campaign and his debating with Tom Hodgson. And every sheriff has the right to, you know, execute what their vision is for that office. But it seems like Sheriff Hero is more concerned about the resources than he is the policy. And I know a lot of you are going to say, well, he's nothing but a George Soros-funded liberal. Okay, but the staffing issue is a real problem. And if they don't have the manpower to do everything they need to, or the person power, really, to do everything they need to do now, why would they want to add something else onto that plate? So utilizing that space as a training center, as an upgraded training center, will certainly be helpful. And as the sheriff said, it will also be available to other local law enforcement agencies, schedule depending. So if they don't have something going on and another group wants to use that, they'll be able to, because it was paid for with county dollars. And what it has there too, one of the things that it has there is a larger gym space for preparations in case something breaks out. So they have more room to train and prepare for something like that. And it also has two mock jail cells to allow the trainees to be able to learn and practice escorting the prisoners in and out of cells, the inmates in and out of cells. So it should be a hugely beneficial project that, you know, anybody that's ever had kids that go to school in a modular classroom and then they go from being in the modular to being in the main building, or they build a new school and they get to go into the new classroom, and you notice a difference not only in just where it is that they're going to school, but their general mood overall going to school every day. I thankfully never had classes in modular classrooms. But there were friends of mine that did, and nobody liked it. Nobody ever enjoyed going in those rooms because they were always too small, too cramped, didn't have the right heat, didn't have the right air conditioning. Windows wouldn't open, those kind of things. I was lucky, though. The one school that I went to that would have been an issue was in Sandwich. The first elementary school I went to when I lived there, sixth grade, and my classroom was a converted auditorium. So I didn't have to worry about a modular classroom. But they did have kids in those, and that's only because, you know, they had two brand new elementary schools that were set to open later that year. So I came in about 4 or 5 months before those schools were set to open. So we basically went there for the first half of the year. I think I don't even think it was April vacation. I don't even think it was that late in the year. Maybe it was February vacation. And when we came back, instead of going to the old school, we went to the new school. And kids were so excited to not have to go back into those modular classrooms because it was wintertime and they were cold. Now we had a brand new building with regulated temperatures and brand new gym. You didn't have to go into some basement for music class. I don't remember where music class was, but I know it wasn't in the basement. So it made a difference in kids' outlook and the way that they viewed going to school every day. And I'm sure it's similar for the people who are training to become part of the BCSO. So we have that. We also have the few other stories that we have followed along with here in the morning. The Conjuring House in Barrowville, Rhode Island, will not have its entertainment license renewed. The Barrowville Town Council voted not to renew it, which effectively prevents the owner, Jacqueline Nunez, from hosting tours and overnight visits for the foreseeable future. She had a 24-hour entertainment license. It was coming up for renewal. And the police chief, you know, normally this is something where you just file the paperwork, the police chief signs off on it, and there's really no muss, no fuss. It really should just be an easy process because you've already been in business. They know what to expect. If you're not changing anything to what you're doing, there's no need for any hearings or meetings or anything. You just kind of renew it, pay the whatever it is, probably $100, and you have your new license. But what concerned the police chief was some of the things that she had written in her application and the fact that she attached a 7-page essay to it about how she's the savior of humanity. And there was no requirement to submit an essay with this. So this was unsolicited. She just sent this essay. And he said that there was very concerning statements about that made her think that she wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but, you know, there was things in there that you would say something's wrong with this woman. And as we know, she also had that issue where she got pulled over for DUI and was combative with the police. She claimed she had not been drinking, but she did not pass a field sobriety test. So compounding issues here led to them saying, we don't feel safe giving you this license renewal. Lynch noted to the Barrowville Town Council that her erratic behavior had been worrisome. He said, I haven't seen any signs of there being a path to get past that. Now, she can still operate through the end of the month because the license does not expire until November 30th. And then she's allowed to submit an application again next year. And Channel 12 reached out to her for a statement, but they haven't heard back from her yet. But there were people there in attendance, I guess ready to speak if they needed to. Jason Hawes, a star of Ghost Hunters, who she had been singling out as a trained assassin trying to kill her in social media posts. His daughter Satori and her fiance Cody, who they say she had promised them insurance proceeds from the barn fire to pay for their haunted objects that were lost in the fire from their museum. So there were people ready to speak out on the danger that she poses operating this business. And as Satori says, you know, they're just concerned about the safety of the people that go there. The safety of the people that pay to go there can't be guaranteed because of her erratic behavior. So if you have reservations for the Conjuring House, for a tour, for an overnight, for an event, for anything that's happening past November 30th, if it's an event, reach out to the event organizer because usually they're just people that are renting out the house. You know, before all this had happened, I had been in discussions to do some things over there, and luckily I just didn't have the time to set anything up. So if it's an event, reach out to the event organizer, the person that sold you your ticket. But if it's, you know, an overnight, if it's a tour, anything like that, you have to reach out to Jacqueline Nunez and the Conjuring House And they have to, you know, she has to be the one to give you the refund. And she put something very interesting up on the website, which is theconjuringhouse.com. As you know, it is known as the Arnold Estate because John Arnold was one of the original owners of the property. And that's also the spirit that told her that her former general manager was stealing from her. And that's why she fired him. But she put the announcement on the site, TCH, the Conjuring House, TCH is transitioning to the realm of Arnold. We are celebrating the lineage of this remarkable family from England to America. Now, I don't know if that's a rebrand because she wants to get away from the negative connotations that have now come around that house, or if that's, it could be that Warner Brothers doesn't want her using the name anymore because of all the negative publicity that's been happening. And I believe they have one more Conjuring film coming out. Not about the house, but about a different Ed and Lorraine Warren case. So that's one we'll continue to keep an eye on because who knows what's going to happen next. The smart thing to do in this case would be to sell the business. Matt Rife will probably pay you at least what you paid for it, if not more. And then just walk away. Because as is, it's gonna, you've got a long road to regain trust from the town, from the people who would go there, from the people who would work with you. And then coming up in a little bit, we can talk about the latest on the legal drama surrounding Lizzie Borden. Right now, though, I've got to take a quick break. We will be right back. All right, it's time to get an update on all the top headlines of the day with Phil Devitt.
Biden gives the missile go-ahead to Ukraine. Will the Matt Gaetz ethics probe see the light of day? And good luck beating this Airbnb deal.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Multiple sources indicate President Biden is giving the okay to Ukraine to strike Russia with U.S.-made long-range missiles. At the same time, there are reports Ukraine plans to launch strikes in the coming days. This comes after news of North Korean soldiers arriving at the front to fight alongside Russian troops. The House may vote to release former Congressman Matt Gaetz's ethics probe. President-elect Trump selected the former Florida Republican to be his attorney general with a probe involving bribes and illegal sexual activity surrounding the congressman. Some Republican senators have questioned whether Gaetz is the best person for the job. House Speaker Mike Johnson is pushing to keep the report sealed. An attorney says two of his clients have told the House Ethics Committee that Gaetz paid them for sex. Florida attorney Joel Leppard tells NBC News that one of his clients also saw Gaetz having sex with an underage woman at a house party in 2017. Trump's nominee for national security advisor says no one on his team is questioning his cabinet picks.
This team, you don't have anybody on the team thinking they know better than him or want to undermine or obfuscate. We are all on board rowing in the same direction.
Republican Congressman Michael Waltz of Florida adds there is an excitement among the picks and they are ready to get to work. Sean Diddy Combs' lawyers say feds raided his jail cell and seized privileged materials. Lisa Taylor with the details.
According to TMZ, Sean Combs' attorney claimed those materials included notes to his legal team about defense witnesses and strategies for his trial. The trial is set for May in New York. Diddy is behind bars for alleged sex trafficking. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The U.S. Postal Service is coming out with a Betty White stamp. The late actress's image is one among a few new stamps to debut next year. The Postal Service called the Golden Girl star an icon of American television who gained younger generations of fans as she entered her 90s. The stamp features a digital illustration of White based on a 2010 photograph of her. She died at 99 years old in 2021. Nearly 80 million Americans are expected to travel over the Thanksgiving holiday, AAA predicting the numbers will surpass pre-pandemic levels and set a new record between November 26th and December 2nd. Most will travel by car, but airlines are gearing up as well. another Oscar to the legacy of Quincy Jones. The legendary music producer, who died this month at 91, was posthumously awarded an honorary Lifetime Achievement Oscar at the Governor's Awards in Hollywood over the weekend. His daughter, actress Rashida Jones, accepted the award. Jones, who produced a huge list of hits, also produced movies including The Color Purple and did the soundtracks for films including In Cold Blood and The Wiz. And Airbnb and Paramount Pictures are teaming up to offer two nights of entertainment next year at the Colosseum in Rome. More from Tammy Trujillo.
The event is meant to celebrate the release of Ridley Scott's Gladiator II. It's not an overnight stay, but guests will have a tour of the Colosseum and then train in gladiator combat over the course of 3 hours. Airbnb says the event is about preservation, having donated $1.5 million to the Colosseum. Not everyone is happy, however, with at least one former European Parliament member likening the event to turning the Colosseum into a theme park. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics at TD Garden to play the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight at 7. Bruins home to play the Utah Hockey Club on Thursday. Patriots in Miami to play the Dolphins on Sunday.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Cool, sunny, and breezy today and tomorrow. Elevated fire conditions remain, but moderate to heavy rain comes in Thursday morning. First significant rainfall in over a month. Showers linger into Friday and maybe Saturday. Colder air moving in with the storm, so expect temps in the 40s through the start of the weekend. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
It's 508-996-0500, but if you ever do lose my number, that's okay, because you can easily call through the WBSM app. If you have the app downloaded on your phone, and if you haven't already, what are you waiting for? You can get it from your app store, wherever you get your apps from, or you can get it from WBSM.com. If you just go to the website and click on the Listen tab, it'll send it right to your device. But the app is multifaceted. So not only can you get all of our stories and breaking news alerts, you can get live traffic, you can get live weather, you can get an alarm that'll wake you up to listen to WBSM, you can get our podcast, you can get our stream anywhere in the world, but you can also get this option where not only can you send app chat messages like texting us in the studio, not only can you record a voicemail and send it to us so we can play on the air, but you can also call us directly through the app. So basically you just go and you hit call us and it will use your phone's dialer to dial into the studio. So you don't even need to remember the number, which is probably helpful because, oh, this poor guy. I'm watching, I got the Channel 6 News on and they're interviewing someone who clearly has toothpaste in the corner of his mouth and nobody told him. They let him do this whole, and it's a long interview. This has been going on for a few minutes already. They let him do this whole interview with toothpaste in the corner of his mouth. I'm assuming that's what it is. Anyway. Right, so you can call directly through the app. One of the many great features brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. So they can not only take care of you whenever you get stranded somewhere or whenever you need to have a vehicle towed, but they can also make sure that you are taken care of with the WBSM app. So I had mentioned before the break that there is an update in the Lizzie Borden saga. And who would have thought that in 2024, the legal issues surrounding Lizzie Borden wouldn't involve, you know, new evidence in the murders. No, that would be too helpful. No, instead, it's a lawsuit over trademarks. And if you remember last year, the Lizzie Borden house owners, U.S. Ghost Adventures LLC, filed a lawsuit against Miss Lizzie's Coffee, which opened up in August of 2023 on the anniversary of the murders, August 4th. And it opened up right next door to the Lizzie Borden house. It's in the house that was once in the building that was once owned by a relative of Andrew Borden, was a doctor's office at the time of Lizzie living there with her family. And there's been many things over the years, including at one point it was even a bed and breakfast unto itself before the Lizzie Borden house was a bed and breakfast. And most recently before being a coffee shop, it was a barber shop. And now it's turned into a nice shop where you can get your coffee when you first walk in, but they also have some rooms upstairs where you can relax and read Lizzie Borden related books, and they do different events upstairs with like art shows and poetry readings and things like that. And so the owner of the Lizzie Borden house, Lance Zoll, the man behind U.S. Ghost Adventures, took exception with the fact that they called it Miss Lizzie's Coffee and used a hatchet as their logo, because the Lizzie Borden house also uses a hatchet for its logo, and it's trademarked. And so he took the coffee shop to court. First, he tried to get them to just, you know, close down on their own. The owner, Joe Pereira, said, you know, just take me to court. We'll fight it out there. And they did, and the coffee shop won. The judge in the first, in the district court case, refused to grant an injunction to the Lizzie Borden house that would prohibit Miss Lizzie's Coffee from doing business under the name Miss Lizzie's Coffee and using the hatchet logo, because U.S. Ghost Adventures claimed that it was creating confusion and that people were thinking the two were associated, and that Joe Pereira was capitalizing on U.S. Ghost Adventures' trademark. Which, by the way, it only bought a few years before from the people that originally trademarked it. So the decision that was handed down by Judge Sorokin in the district court was that U.S. Ghost Adventures failed to prove the need for injunctive relief. And that effectively meant that, therefore, there's no point in going forward with the lawsuit, because if there isn't enough merit to provide the injunction until the lawsuit is settled, then there's no merit to the lawsuit itself. So that was basically what happened. U.S. Ghost Adventures said back then that they planned to appeal, and they did. And now on Friday, the First Circuit Court of Appeals handed down its decision, a 3-judge panel handed down its decision regarding the appeal, and they have upheld the lower court's decision. Because in order for them to grant the appeal to U.S. Ghost Adventures, they would have to show that Judge Sorokin used biased or poor judgment in reaching his decision. And so they went through case, you know, step by step, item by item, the claims that U.S. Ghost Adventures is making, and found that the district court's ruling was appropriate. And it's what I had been saying from the very beginning of this lawsuit, and I am not a legal scholar at all. I don't know anything about the law. I mean, the things that I know anecdotally. I've never studied the law. The closest I came was maybe a chapter or two in civics class, and maybe a couple of courses I took at Boise State. But generally, I am not anybody that would know things about the law at all. And even I was could see, like, this isn't, that can't be right. You can't trademark Lizzie Borden, the person, and the legend and the story, and that's what Judge Sorokin ruled. He ruled that you can have the name to do business with, and that's what the trademark is for U.S. Ghost Adventures. It's to have the name Lizzie Borden in hospitality and restaurant services, but it's that name, Lizzie Borden. So they could not have opened that coffee shop and called it Lizzie Borden's Cafe. That would have been a trademark violation. But calling it Miss Lizzie's Coffee did not violate the trademark. The trademark was for the full name, Lizzie Borden, not for any part thereof. U.S. Ghost Adventures didn't try to sue Lizzie's Liquors on Route 6. Good luck with that. Lizzie's the name of the owner. But clearly they utilized the Lizzie Borden story as part of their marketing. And that means you would have to, you know, sue anybody that called something Borden something or other. Well, good luck with that. That's their name too. So this was certainly, you know, something that I felt was a situation where they knew that they probably weren't going to win, but A, they had the funds to try it anyway, and B, they thought that if they litigated it long enough that the coffee shop would run out of money and give up. That's just my assumption. That's my guess. It's my analysis. Also, the hatchet trademark was very specific in its design, and that's not the design that Miss Lizzie's Coffee uses. So either somebody on the U.S. Ghost Adventures team doesn't understand how trademarks work, which is entirely possible based on some of their business practices, and that's not me, that's numerous reporting of alleged theft of ghost tour information and ghost tour names. There's been numerous stories about that in recent months. Or they just felt they could bully the smaller business while claiming to be the small business that's getting injured. So now the appeals court has held up the judge's original decision that, yes, he's right. Those things are not trademark violations. And then they got into the issue of confusion over whether or not the coffee shop owns, the house owns the coffee shop. Because apparently people got upset because they would go next door and buy coffee and then go into the house and were told they couldn't bring the coffee into the house. And they're like, but we thought that you owned it. Why can't we bring it in there? Well, just because some people don't want to follow the rules of the house, that's not the coffee shop's fault. I'm sure there are just as many people that get upset because they can't bring in their Dunkin' Donuts coffee that they bought on the way there. And then they're claiming that, you know, people get confused and then get upset about things that happened in the coffee shop and blame it on the house. Like, none of that happened. And in fact, Joe Pereira even challenged the people who were making those claims when he was on with me back in March. He challenged those people making those claims to, you know, put them on the record because otherwise they're committing perjury. That's how strongly he felt that those things didn't happen. So it's been a drama fest, but hopefully this solves it. Hopefully now the two businesses can figure out a way to move forward together and be neighbors. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break. We'll be right back. You know, that commercial made me think, no spoilers here, but what are you thinking about the new season of Yellowstone? I heard on America in the Morning, you know, Kevin Costner kind of lamenting the way that his character was killed off. Sorry, I know I shouldn't have said no spoilers, but come on, you knew that was happening. They said that already. They said he wasn't returning for this season, and obviously that's what they were going to do. So, yeah, that's not really a spoiler. But he was kind of upset about the way that it was handled because he had given them other suggestions of how to handle it better. And it seemed like they could have done a better job. They couldn't have given him one scene, let him be in the scene at least. I mean, I guess the way that the storyline goes, it plays out better that you didn't see what happened, but give the guy at least a little screen time. That show wouldn't exist if not for him. And certainly, you know, he brought the star power to that show. Most of those actors nobody had heard of when they started that show. And there's things about it that bother me. There's things about it that I'm like, it gets a little preachy at times about things. And, you know, there's now it's all about the product placement for Taylor Sheridan's 4/6 brand. Like, I don't know if you're aware of this, but that vodka they were pushing in the latest episode, that's a real thing. So, yeah, some of that stuff's getting a little bit cheesy, but the storylines are still good. I still enjoy, you know, I don't watch all of his programs, but I watch a number of them. Mayor of Kingstown is great. Tulsa King is great. All the offshoots of Yellowstone have been okay. I haven't watched Lioness yet, but I probably will at some point. And I haven't watched Landman, but hopefully tonight I can get down and watch those first two episodes. All right, let me take one more break before the end of this hour. We'll be right back.
All right.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.